We're reading from Exodus chapter 15, first 21 verses. Exodus 15. Follow along, please, as I read. The heading of this is the Song of Moses and Miriam. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew them with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you brought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. Pastor will be speaking on this in a few minutes.
You probably know that I love watching football and enjoyed playing it. And I've got a brother sitting on the third row, and he was a football player too. And you can tell by the width of his shoulders that he was a very good football player. And one of the great parts about football is the celebration of the football. And it happens in a number of ways. When the game is on and someone scores a touchdown, sometimes that individual will celebrate. And they'll do a little dance and they'll throw the ball down. And sometimes they'll jump up and they'll spike it over the goalposts just to celebrate. Hey, I've done a great thing. Look at this. And, of course, the crowd celebrates. And the crowd will cheer. And the crowd will clap. And people will jump up and not be able to contain their enthusiasm because of what they've just seen in their excitement and their celebration. And the celebration will continue as the players receive bigger and better contracts. And that also is saying we are pleased with what you're doing and we celebrate it. Way to go. We're very good at celebrating at sporting events and worshiping sports figures. And that's the same thing we should be doing for our God. Celebrating our God. Because you see, what you really like and what you enjoy, you will praise. You'll talk about it. You'll praise it to others. you'll say, hey, what about that movie I saw? Or did you see that on the TV yesterday? Wasn't that great? Or did you see that sporting event? And you'll talk about it. And part of the celebration and the enjoyment of the event itself is actually the talking about it and the praise of it. In the same way, that's what worship is. Worship is enjoying our God, and part of the enjoyment of our God is the praise of Him, the talking about it, and the speaking of it, and the singing of it. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what we have in our text today in Exodus chapter 15. This is an outline for the book of Exodus. Chapters 1 through 19, God delivers His people. He brings them out of Egypt, and He brings them, trying to bring them to the promised land. In 1 through 19, He delivers His people. In chapter 19, they arrive at Mount Sinai. And then the rest of the book is about God establishing a covenant with His people. Another way to think of the outline is the Ten Commandments. Commandment number one says this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. So that's chapters 1 through 19. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the rest of the book, as He establishes this covenant and as they worship Him. This is just some definitions of worship. The first definition is mine. Worship is reflecting God's worth. Reflecting God's worth. So we don't make God something that He's not, but we recognize who He is and we reflect that back, either back to God or outwards to other people. Number two, worship is an active response to God whereby we declare His worth. Comes from a book written by Allen and Baror. Another definition comes from Jack Hayford, and he's the one who wrote that little chorus, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. And I think the title of the book actually is Worship His Majesty. And he says this: a worship service is convened to serve God with our praise and to serve people's need with His sufficiency. So actually, when I worship God, I praise Him and get enthusiastic about Him, that actually solves my need. What is your need? Your greatest need is to worship God. That's your greatest need. To recognize His greatness, His glory, His wonderfulness, that's your greatest need. And then when you worship, you are solving your greatest need. And finally, Weber says worship is a verb. In other words, it's an action. And by the way, that's the title of the book, so I didn't even have to read very far into it to get that quote. Worship is a verb. From our text this morning, I have 6 points. Okay, so what about worship? This song in Exodus 15 is the first record of a song in the Bible. And this is the first time someone sings in the Bible to God, and the first time somebody worships using song. And I don't know if it's the first song that we have in the history of the world, but it would be one of the earliest, because if Exodus is written in 1400 BC, this is some of the earliest writing that we have. So that's huge, as Moses writes this song. This is poetry, and Hebrew poetry rhymes the second line with the first. So they don't have rhyming of words, but the second line repeats the first line, or it adds something to the first line. That's kind of the poetry. That's the art involved in writing it. So for instance, in verse 2, notice it says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. And so he wants to say, the Lord is my strength and my defense, but he wants to say it in another way to rhyme that idea. So he gives you the second line. He has become my salvation. That's saying the same thing a little different way. If you notice the next line, he is my God and I will praise him. So he wants to say that again in a little different way. And so he adds something. He is my Father's God and I will exalt him. He's saying the same thing a little different way. That's the poetry. That's the rhyming of the ideas. Notice verse 3. The Lord is a warrior. What's another way of saying that? Or another idea that rhymes with that? The Lord is his name. Okay, now in your Bible, these texts are offset so that you'll know it's poetry. And about at least a quarter of your Bible is poetry. When you read it, slow down. Slow down. Psalm 23, great example of poetry. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what's another way of saying the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. I don't have any needs because God's taking care of me. The two ideas go together. But you have to slow down and think about it. Okay, the Lord's a shepherd. What does that mean? And what does it mean for me not to have any wants? And if you just try to read it like prose in a story, it's not going to have an impact on you. Slow down, enjoy it. Okay, number one. When I worship God, it includes singing, dancing, and celebration. Verse 1, I will sing to the Lord, for he has risen up high. Singing, dancing, and celebration. There are many ways to worship God. You can do it by sacrifice, by priesthood, meditation, prayer. However, one of the key ways to worship God is through singing. There are many ways to worship God through music. And even if you can't sing, you can control your radio. You can record something. If you're under the age of 30, you use YouTube. Or maybe I should say under the age of 50. You can play an instrument. You can attend church, you can go to concerts. There are many ways to worship God through singing and through music. Myself, I usually worship every Sunday, and before Sunday evening service, I sit down at the piano, and those who come easy to early to Sunday evening service will hear me playing the piano, and I usually play for 45 minutes. And that's just part of the worship and getting ready for a service for me, just to think about God, and to praise him and enjoy him and worship him, I will sit down at the piano and play. Well, I think you also need to do something like that, to worship God. And we can do that through singing. If you notice point number 3, worship demands creativity. Worship demands creativity. Exodus 15 is a poem. And when you write a poem, you sit down and you take your time and you write it out and you say, here is my reflection on God. I want to give his worth. And so creatively, Moses writes this so that he can say something to God. And we as well need to be creative in our worship. And I just want to point out what a couple of people did this week. Ray Barodi decorated the platform. And great job, Ray. And Ray made this place look good. And I had a number of people say to me, it looks so beautiful in here. And it does. And now I don't know what Ray was thinking this week, but I hope Ray was thinking something like this. I just want to make this place look good so that people will think well of baby Jesus. I hope she was thinking that. So that people are just excited that Jesus Christ came into the world, and we can celebrate that coming in. I hope Ray was thinking that, because that's a great way to be creative in your worship. On the side over here, we have a banner, and I don't know if this is one that was done by Rob Crozier's mom, but every so often, Rob and Donna Crozier, but is this done by your mom, Rob? One of the ones done by his mom. And This was a way that she used her creativity to reflect God's worth and to say something about how worthy God is. And so she made this banner, and I love this banner. This is one of my favorites. And even though Rob's mom is no longer with us, her worship of God and her creativity, pointing others to God, lives on. And I just thought that was just fantastic. And we should be creative in our worship of God. And it obviously doesn't have to be music. It could be all kinds of things. Use your creativity because God made you to be special. He made you to be creative. And if you just look at how different all of us are, God made us, and some of us look weird, and some of us look great, but that's just God's creativity making us all different and wonderful. We can do the same thing, using our talents to make all kinds of different kinds of things to bring glory to God. Point number two. Worship includes dancing and musical instruments. And Baptists don't often say that worship includes dancing. I love the fact that Miriam gets out there and she leads the women in dancing. And this week I looked up on the internet to get images, to find paintings or pictures that people had drawn of Miriam leading the women in dancing. And every picture corresponded to what I thought it looked like. A 20-year-old woman dancing before the Lord and leading other 20-year-old women in dancing. That's the picture in my mind. Okay? That's not the reality. Miriam is about 87. And in my mind, I never pictured an 87-year-old woman dancing and leading all the other women in dancing. I did not picture that. Now, you know she's 87 because Moses is 80. And remember when Moses was born and he was in that little basket floating on the river, Miriam was the one who went out and looked after him. So I figure she was 6 or 7 years old at least. So Moses is 80, so she's got to be 87. Now, women and older women, what's going on? If Miriam can do it, so can you. One pastor was asked, he was asked this question. He goes, can people dance? And he said, his answer was this. He says, well, some can and some can't. Point number three, use your creative side. I wrote down a number of things. You can paint, write, sing, sculpt, dance, build, etc., etc. Point number four, worship is personal. Worship is personal. If you look in the text, verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. This is my God. I will beautify him, or I will praise him. The God of my fathers, I will exalt him. It's personal. Zinzendorf, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, was a Moravian, and the Moravians were well known as missionaries. And this is what he said, a little quote from him. He said, I have but one passion. It is he. He only. F.F. Bruce is a famous Christian writer, wrote many commentaries and many books. And yet, if you read his writing style, it's very dry. And so someone once asked him, how come you write the way you do? We don't know anything about you. And he said, well, I never write anything about myself because it's too personal, so that you'll never know what is most important to me. And in a sense, that's sad. It's sad. What is most important to us should come out. John Piper said this. He said, I want to write about what is most important to me. Otherwise, what is the point? And worship is a window into our soul so that what is most important to us comes out. Worship must be personal. Jesus said, the time is coming and now is when those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit. In spirit. It's got to be the real you. Number five. Worship must be corporate. And I've got up there, it must lead to broader participation. Miriam says, she doesn't say, I will sing unto the Lord. She says, you sing to the Lord. You sing to the Lord. It's not just one person. It's everybody. It's meant to draw us all in. And of course, that's why we're here today. So that we could worship together. Finally, six, worship magnifies, exalts, and celebrates God. It magnifies, exalts, and celebrates God. First of all, how does it do that? It does it by feasting on who God is and what He is like. If you look in your bulletins at the text or in your Bibles at the text, if you look with me at verse 1, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. That is, worshiping God for who He is. And then the second is worshiping God for His actions. Horse and rider He has hurled into the sea. So here I'm going to worship God for who He is, and here I worship Him for what He's done. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength, my defense, my salvation. My God, I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. And here again is His person exalted. And partly His actions. He defends me. Verse 3, worship God for who He is. The Lord's a warrior. The Lord's His name. 4, worship Him for His actions. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and army, He's hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Verse 6, worship God for who He is. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. God's hand, He can do anything. Right hand, because God is right-handed. No, I'm kidding. That's the powerful hand, the hand of capability. God's got it. Worship Him for who what He does. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Notice verse 10. But You blew with Your breath. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Worship God for what He does. And then verse 11. Worship Him for who He is in His person. Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Again in verse 12, worship Him for what He does, His actions. You stretch out Your right hand and the earth swallows Your enemies. Worship feasts on who God is and what He is like, and worship celebrates God for what God has done and is doing. Well, how are you going to do that in your life? And two quick applications. Number one, Christmas time, a great time to celebrate God and worship Him and magnify Him for, first of all, who He is. And what does Christmas have to do with who God is? God is loving. God is love. And that is what Christmas is all about. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He sent His Son into the world. God is love. Wow. It's exciting. But also, God has these activities. And the activity at Christmas time is He sends Jesus into this world so He can be a man, so that He can live a great life, so that He can share our humanity, and that He can die on the cross for our sins. Those are all the actions of God. Worship God for what He does. And that's what Christmas is, a celebration for what God has done in this world. So enjoy it, magnify, exalt, and celebrate God as you celebrate Christmas. Second way, when God saves you and you give your life to Jesus Christ, something spectacular happens. Instead of being a normal human being, he fills you with his spirit. You become born again, one of his children. And everything changes. And that is something to celebrate. That is the action and activity of God working in your life to change who you are. That's worth celebrating. Worth talking about, worth magnifying God. And there again, why does that happen? That's the love of God. I often think of it as the mercy of God. God looked down on David Ben and he goes, what a sad, pitiful person he is. He needs help. And he gives it. Mercy of God. And the mercy that acts on our behalf. So let me encourage you to put worship on your calendar. To sing, to dance, to be creative, to be personal in your worship. And also to do it corporately and to make sure that it's God-focused on who God is and what he does. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a great encouragement this morning to see Moses and his worship and celebration of who you are and what you have done. And Father, we want to be just like that and do the same things in our lives. And we've done some of that today. And we pray that you would just help us this Christmas season to continue to worship and celebrate your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.